Once again, I want to thank Brother Henry for those words of encouragement. Amen. Don't give up. And I'm a firm believer that if you just keep your hand in the hand of the man of Galilee, you won't have to worry about a thing. It may not be what you want, but I've learned that God always gives you what you need. And I think that's the whole key. We're talking about friendship, and really friends don't let friends give up. You know, just say they friends don't let other friends drive drunk. Christians don't allow other Christians to give up. We're to encourage and remind one another that in the midst of everything that goes on, God is always in control. And so if God is always in control, then that means from time to time, some of us are out of control. That's why it's so important that we encourage one another. We remind one another to keep our eyes focused on the cross. And so this morning, for the next few minutes, I want to look at a passage of scripture in Proverbs chapter 18 and round about verse number 24. You know, the wisest man on the face of the earth came to God and asked God to give him wisdom that he may guide his people. And because he did not ask for riches, God gave him wisdom and made him the richest man on the face of the earth. And as a result of him being so rich, it turned his eyes from God. But I'm reminded of what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and round about verse number 13. After he realized that everything that had gone on in his life, he said it's vanity and vexation of the soul. And he says, so I've come to a conclusion is, let us fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And so oftentimes I reflect upon Solomon because Solomon understood what it was all about. And so in Proverbs chapter 18 and round about verse number 24, as we talk about friendship, the wise man says, a man that has friends must show himself to be friendly. You can't have a friend unless you're friendly. But he didn't stop there. He goes on to say, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I found out that that friend is Jesus Christ. Amen. In the midst of all the trials and tribulations that I go to, when Sister Harmon can't help me and the kids don't want to be bothered, I can always cry out, Abba, Father. And he hears me. And so for the next few minutes, I want to show you the friend that I call Jesus. The title of the lesson is, who's your friend? Who's your friend? You know, we live in a world where they have made friendship with everything. Just like they've used the word love, and that love means everything. Baseball and apple pie, I love that. But true love comes from God. And so this morning, I want to encourage you as we look at who's your friend. You know, many times we raise the question and we've asked people and we've asked them from time to time, even husband and wife, who's your friend? And you know what we say? My best friend is my spouse. Or my best friend is my mate. Or we allow the world to dictate to us. The world say, my best friend is my dog. We have used these words to represent something that really, when you talk about a friend is someone that understands you. And in this passage of scripture here, he reminds us that there's a friend that sticks closer. A friend that sticks closer, a brother. And I want to encourage our hearts as we talk about this friendship. I want you to get to know the man Jesus, because I'm learning that if you really want a true friend, you know, not those fair weather friends. Anybody got any of those? You know, here today, gone tomorrow. No, I'm talking about a friend that in the midst of your trials and tribulation, he will tell you in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And guess what? You will find rest to your soul. That's the kind of friend I want. I want a friend that in the midst of my trials and tribulation says in 1 Peter chapter 5, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. And I don't know about you, when I stop and think about he cares for me, that means that nothing or no one on this time side of life can hinder me but myself. That goes right back to what you was just talking about. I've learned how to get out the way and let God be the motivating factor in my life. God says I'm always there for us. Matthew chapter 28, round about 18 through 20. We know that's the commission. Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and the earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Verse number 20 says, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you. How many times? Oh, Lord have mercy. So if he's always with me, why do I worry about life itself? If he says he's always with me, what should I be concerned about? What should I worry about? Church, I'm learning that when you understand he's always with you, you don't have to worry about a thing. No matter what state you find yourself in, no matter where you come from or what's going on in your life, if you understand who's in control of everything, what should you worry about? That's why the child of God must constantly cast his cares upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a friend we have in Jesus. And church, and I'm learning that when you really embrace Jesus Christ, nothing can stop you. It won't even hinder you. Does death hinder us? No. The sickness hinder us? Y'all looking at me funny. I got some Bible for you this morning. I want to show you that when you really have a friend in Jesus, nothing can stop you but yourself. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, if any man desire to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Why do you got to get out of the way? God can't help you as long as you in the way. I've had to learn that. I've had to learn that when I get out of the way, I don't have to beat my kids to come to church. Amen, Walls. Amen. I got out of the way and I let God have his way. Let me show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and round about verse number 8. I want to show you these words to encourage our hearts and to help us to know that we have someone that sticks closer than a friend. And that friend is Jesus Christ. And when you embrace him, when you allow him to be the motivating factor of your life, man, life takes on a whole new meaning. I do what I do because I have a friend. And that friend is always there with me. Even when I mess up, my friend stands there with open arms. How many of y'all do that? Let me mess up with y'all. Y'all got open arms? No, no. The last thing you want to do is see me. But I got a friend that in the midst of my trials and tribulation, he's always there with open arms. Matter of fact, Revelation chapter 3 and round about verse number 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. See, I got a, my friends don't knock on my door. Amen. He says, I stand at the door and knock. He says, all you got to do is open the door. What a friend we have in Jesus. But let me show you something. In the midst of our trials and tribulations, our friend tells us, don't worry about them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and round about verse number 8, Paul says, we are troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifested in our flesh. So then death worketh in you, in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. That's some powerful stuff there. I don't know what kind of friend you got, but I got a friend that when death knocks on my door, Luke chapter 16, he will dispatch the heavenly pallbearers to take me to the other side. Boy, how many friends you got like that? It's hard to find a friend to carry the coffin to the graveyard. Amen. But I got a friend that takes me beyond the grave. And that friend is Jesus Christ. But Paul didn't stop right there. He goes on to say in verse number 15, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many renown to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Sound like the same text you're talking about. Why don't we faint? Because I got a friend that in the midst of my trials and tribulation, he says, take my yoke, Stan. Matter of fact, I tell you what, when your ways please me, I'll make your enemies at peace. Boy, you got a friend like that? Well, I just stopped by this morning to tell you, you can have that kind of friend. And I'm going to tell you in a few minutes how to get that kind of friend. But he didn't stop there. He says, for this cause we faint not. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions is but for a moment, worketh for us an exceedingly and far eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Church, I don't know about you. When I stop and think about the God that I serve, that in the midst of everything that goes on, God wants me to do his will. And in the process, I can say I got a friend. See, because when friends don't want to be bothered, he says, I'm always there for you. And guess what? I want to show you that when you really hook up with Jesus, let me show you what a friend will do for you. Philippians chapter 4 and round about verse number 7. But it requires something of you. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, be anxious for nothing. What does that mean? Stop worrying about tomorrow. How many of y'all got a pocket full of worry? See, I got a friend that takes away that worry. Yes. I got a friend that when I don't have any answers to what's going on, my friend is right there for me. And how do I know he's there? See, that's the key. When someone needs a friend, is your friend always there for you? Call me if. Not call me when you need me. Call me if you need me. See, that's the kind of friends. No, I don't want that kind of friend. I want a friend that says, I'm going to call you, because I know you need me. He goes on to say in the rest of that passage, in verse number 6, casting all your cares upon him, be careful for nothing, but in everything through prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Who's your friend? I'm going to show you what my friend will do if I get out of the way and let him do it. John chapter 10 and verse number 10. The thief has come but to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. My friend says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Well, if I cast my cares on you, what do I got to do? Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Your adversary is out to destroy you. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Who's your friend this morning? I want to show you that the friend in Jesus helps me in the midst of everything that goes on in my life. Matter of fact, he's given me something to help me. John chapter 16, verse number 13, he's given me his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit, in the midst of my trials and tribulation, guided through the word, helps me to stand firm, helps me to be unmovable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 57, thanks be to God that gives you the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, the friend that I have can give me something that you can't give me. Amen. The friend I have gives me power to overcome Satan and all of his devices. Y'all looking at me funny. I got some Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1. Verse number 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God's given us everything we need. What's the problem? You got the wrong friends. Now, when you look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 24 from a different translation, it says, don't have too many friends. Oh, yeah. Why? Because they can ruin you. Everybody you think is your friend may not be your friend. That's why it's best to have a friend in Jesus and not put trust in man. I want to encourage our hearts this morning. Get to know Jesus, because he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And as I close, I want to show you that Jesus understands friendship. He understands what a friend is. In John chapter 15 and round about verse number 13, listen to what Jesus says. The Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for a friend. Who in here ready to die for me?
I would.
That sounds good. But when the rubber meets the road, you know, I'm reminded of an individual that said, Lord, I'll follow you everywhere. I will lay down our lives. And Jesus said, I tell you, before the clock crows three times, you're going to deny me. That's why I'm very careful about my friends. He says that a man will lay down his life for friends. And then he says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servant, for a servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friend, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me. Get this. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. See, when you understand who's the true friend that you need, you understand that God has chosen you. What did he choose you for? Because you look pretty? Because you dress nice? Because you sound, no. He's chosen each and every one of us to go find another friend to bring to him. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my boy, I wish I had some time. I could take more time on this, but I wish I had some time. He says, whatever I ask, because he's my friend.
Yes.
Can y'all go and ask your friend for everything?
Yeah.
Come on, y'all. Please.
I don't know.
I won't leave that alone. He says, that whatsoever you shall ask in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And church, that's the message. Friendship is all about loving and caring for one another.
Amen.
Friendship is about putting yourself out for someone else.
Yes.
And that's easier said than done. It's real easy to talk this, but when the rubber really meets the road, am I willing to give my best for you? But see, that requires something. That requires a certain type of spirit. That requires a spirit that is willing to humble himself and allow God to use him. Church, we've been saved to save this world out here. And that's what friendship is all about, inviting someone to come and see Jesus. So the question is, who's your friend? Is he a fair weather friend? Is it your spouse, or is it someone else? I'm learning that my friend is Jesus.
Amen.
And for those of you that are visiting this morning, I want you to get to know the Jesus that I'm talking about. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and following, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked men, who do men say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he turns to the 12 and said, but who do you say that I am? Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou, Peter, and upon the confession that I am the Son of God, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And guess what, Peter? I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bind in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The Bible says that the keys to the kingdom, Peter got. And who's the head of the church? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this morning, those of you that are visiting, who's your friend? You've heard the gospel this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you believe what I said? John chapter 20, verse number 30, many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in the book. These are written that you might believe, and believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says you got to repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3, 13, 5. Tell your nay, except you repent, you'll perish. Confess that he's the Son of a living God. And for those of us who are believers, that's an ongoing confession. I confess him every day. Or I deny him every day. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus says, confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men, and he says, I'll deny you before my Father. And all of that brings us unto salvation. Yes. Contrary to popular belief, that is the door to salvation. The Bible says you must be buried in water for the remission of your sin. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. And then he adds you to the body of Christ, to the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 22. Who's your friend? If you want Jesus, all you have to do is come down here. We'll put you in that water, and you can leave here saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I got a friend better than any other friend I've ever had. Amen. And you know what? He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. And guess what? He owns the heels of 1,000. Come on, y'all. That's who I serve. So if you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.